my sin and set me free. Your mercy so great and love so true. My heart's desire is to know you, that I may know him who gave his life for me. My Abba Father, my King forever will be, that I may know him in whole, not in part. This is the deepest desire of my heart. Life's time is so short, the days are few. My desires and my plans, Lord, I give to you, to serve to the fullest my great King. Lord, I am yours, you're my everything. That I may know him who gave his life for me. My Abba Father, my King forever will be. That I may know him in whole, not in part. This is the deepest desire of my heart. Any burden, any trial you give to me, I know this your will, Lord, let it be. Give me grace, strength I need to toil and sow. When life is o'er, your joy I'll know. That I may know him who gave his life for me. My Abba Father, my King forever will be. That I may know him in whole, not in part. This is the deepest desire of my heart.
God, cleanse my soul from sin. Change my heart, O God. Make me pure within. Have mercy, Lord, in thine unfailing love. Blot out my sins with compassion from above. Purge my soul, O Lord. Wash and cleanse me now. Purge my soul, O Lord. Before thy throne I bow. Have mercy, Lord, in thine unfailing love. Blot out my sins with compassion from above. Stamp thy truth within, with the fire of thine eyes. Stamp thy truth within, make thy servant wise. Have mercy, Lord, in thine unfailing love. Blot out my sins with compassion from above. Turn my grief to joy. Make me sing thy praise. Turn my grief to joy. Through eternal days. Have mercy, Lord, in thine unfailing love. Blot out my sins with compassion from above. Change my heart, O God.
Thank you. All right. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, and we'll pray before we begin. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to preach before you today, Lord, and I just ask that this message would honor and glorify your name, Lord. I'm not going to get anything out of it, Lord. If this was all for me, I wouldn't be up here, Lord. And I thank you for this place we have to meet and read your word, Lord, because there are a lot of places around the world where they don't have the privilege to study your word in public. And Lord, I thank you for that blessing, and I pray that this message would edify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about the subject of hard-heartedness. And we're going to review a couple characters in the Bible who display hard-heartedness and how this hard-heartedness applies to us in our Christian walk. So the first character we're going to look at is Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 7, verse 11. It says, "Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go." So Pharaoh was given a command by Moses, by God through Moses and Aaron, and he refused to obey God. Now let's look at verse 21. Next page. It says, "And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said." So after two miracles, Pharaoh is still not convinced. At this point, he thinks he's got a couple of Jewish magicians who are just out of a job. They're just out of work. But these guys are no doubt empowered by Satan doing these miracles. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 7. It says, "And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh also called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord." Verse 14, "And they gathered them together up upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearken not unto them, as the Lord has said." So first he says, yeah, I'll let your people go. Just get these frogs out of here, you know. But then he sees that the frogs subsided, and he sees that there's no more frogs, so he thinks he got his way with God. So he says, I'm not going to let the people go. So now he's lying. He thinks, I can deal with the smell, I'm keeping my slaves. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 17. "And they did so for Aaron, stretched out his hand with his rod, and smote the dust of the earth. And it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. For there were lice upon man and upon beast." Excuse me. "And the magicians said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." So here we got his own magicians say, this is a finger of God. His own magicians, who are no doubt devil-possessed, conjuring up devils and so forth. And these guys are even saying, hey, this is God. This is God, capital G. This is the man, you know. But we don't want any part of it. But Pharaoh still hardened his heart and did not turn his heart towards God. He didn't want any part of it. He just hardened his heart anyways. Same chapter, verse 28. "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord, your God, in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Verse 29. "And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord, that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, and from his servants, and from his people, tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more with not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." And Pharaoh hardened, verse 32. "And Pharaoh hardened his heart. At this time, also neither would he let the people go." Excuse me, choking up up here. There's a lot of people out here today. Now let's look at chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But the cattle of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh set, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of Israel's dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Now let's look up at verse 20. It said, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. So right here, a bunch of cattle in Egypt died from hail and everything. But had Pharaoh issued a national order, everyone's cattle would have been safe. But he didn't. He didn't regard the word of God. He didn't heed the word of God. He didn't want to hear what Moses had to say. He did his own thing. And Egypt, his kingdom, suffered the consequence. Now chapter 10, verse 3. It says, and Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. So Pharaoh's constant pride caused his entire kingdom to suffer. But not only did he refuse to free Israel from bondage, he refused to humble himself before God, like many Christians do. We think we've got everything figured out. We don't need God. We'll just do one more thing and get, you know, I can handle this project or I can handle that. Maybe this one's a little harder. I'll ask God about this one. But we'll get into the rest of that later. Then after that, we had the plague of locusts, darkness, and then the death of the firstborn. Well, that's in chapter 12, verse 31. It's talking about Pharaoh. And it says, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel. Go and serve the Lord as ye have said. So Pharaoh's finally had enough. After losing his firstborn, and every house in Egypt, it says, lost a child. In verse 29 and 30, it talks about that. Every house in Egypt. So because of his pride, not only did all the cattle suffer, all the people suffer, now all of his people are suffering on top of all the plagues from the locusts and everything. Now they've all lost a firstborn. So Pharaoh says, get out of here. I don't want nothing to do with you. So then after that, let's see, where did I lose my spot here? Then we're going to see what happens to Pharaoh. Chapter 14. In verse 23, it says, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now you got to think about it. Here we got the Egyptian soldiers. It says earlier in verse 7, they had 600 chariots. There's all these guys riding, and they see the cloud and, you know, everything, the whirlwind coming down, and then they see the Red Sea part, and they're all thinking, do we really want to go in there? You know? And I could think of some of, like, the lame excuses these guys are coming up with, you know, like, Captain, yeah, I left my beach towel back at the barracks. I honestly can't go in there. I might catch pneumonia or something. The water looks cold. So they didn't. They had orders. They had to go in anyways. In verse 24, it says, and it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and a little cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. There's where they get in trouble with that. Verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels and drave them heavily so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. So first off, we had his magicians and his sorcerers saying, this is the finger of God. Now his own soldiers, who he no doubt works with all the time, said, this is God. We don't want anything to do with it. Let's get out of here. But Pharaoh was such a reprobate at this point that he just wanted to keep pushing forward. He wanted to get what he wanted. He wanted his way. He wanted it now. He's a spoiled kingdom brat. And so what was Pharaoh's end result? What ends up happening to Pharaoh? Verse 29 or verse 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. So after all Pharaoh's pride and everything, his end result was judgment from God, which turned out to be his death. The death of all his soldiers, the plagues of Israel, the plagues of Egypt. And so that was Pharaoh. So what did Pharaoh do? First off, he refused to obey God, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Number two, he lied about fleeing Israel multiple times, chapter 8, 20, verse 29. Number three, he disregarded God's word, chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. And number four, he refused to humble himself before God. That'll come into play later. And that's chapter 10, verse 3. Let's try another guy. 2 Chronicles 36. Everyone raise your hand if I'm going too fast. You guys don't count. All right, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 11. Next guy is King Zedekiah. It says in verse 11, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of God, of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. So what did Zedekiah do to harden his heart? What are the steps that he took to harden his heart? Number one, he did evil in the sight of God. Number two, he did not humble himself to Jeremiah, who was preaching at him from the word of God. He didn't want anything to do with it. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And number three, he rebelled against authority, which was King Nebuchadnezzar who put him in power. And he also rebelled. When he rebelled, in 1 Samuel 15, remember, verse 23, it says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So that's a pretty dangerous sin to be dabbling with. So between the two characters, there are some similarities. Zedekiah did exactly what Pharaoh did, pretty much step by step. But the difference between these two guys is Pharaoh was a heathen from the start. Pharaoh was worshiping Baal and worshiping all false gods. But in verse 12, it says, Zedekiah did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. So he was of the Jewish faith. He knew what was wrong, what was right, but he wanted to do his own thing. So Zedekiah was a type of Christian who got caught up with his kingdom, his ideas, and the things that he wanted to do. And as a result, he became hard-hearted towards God. Let's see what becomes of Zedekiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 52. Ooh, pass it up. Jeremiah 52, we'll start reading in verse 3. It says, "For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all of his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the gate, between two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And all his army was scattered from him. Then they took the king, and carried him into the king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also the princes of Judah and Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in the prison to the day of his death." So once again, God's judgment is harsh but very just. Whenever we think we have one up on God, God just bides his time and puts us in our place when he thinks the time is right. The last thing that King Zedekiah saw were his sons killed before his eyes and his princes killed before his eyes. The last waking memory this man has, because he disregarded God, is the slaughtering of his own sons. So he's got that. He's got his eyes plucked out. And then in verse 11, he was in prison until the day of his death. So his last waking thought was his sons dying before his eyes. Can you imagine having that in your thoughts for the rest of your life? The last vision that you saw. So how does this apply to us as Christians? Let me ask you this. Are you hard-hearted? Are you like Pharaoh? Do Do you refuse to obey God? Are you too proud to humble yourself before God? Are you smarter than God in that you're not regarding God's word in your everyday life? Or are you like Zedekiah, caught up with the things of this world and not the things of God? So if we as Christians have the same attributes as these two men, we will stand before God. If we have the same attributes as these two men, what will our end result be? What will happen to us? Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We will all stand before a holy God one day and give an account of our lives. What we do in this life does matter. If we regard things like Pharaoh and Zedekiah, we're going to be standing before God and give an account of that for one day. Let's try another one, 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we'll receive things. What things will we receive? It all depends on how we live. Let's try 1 Corinthians 3. What things will we receive? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So if we live selfish lives like King Pharaoh and Zedekiah, we'll see wood, hay, and stubble fall out of the spiritual vending machine up there in the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll see them go up in smoke, go up in flames before God himself. That's an awesome thing to think about. Standing before God and saying, God, you're right, I was wrong. You know, what else could we say? So finally, how can we prevent a hard heart? First off, heed God's word when it is preached and apply it to our lives. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other, and don't rebel like Zedekiah did and like Pharaoh did. Let's go to Psalms 51. It's a familiar verse, familiar passage. We'll start in verse 10. It says there, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit, and renew a right spirit within me. So how do we renew our spirit and clean up our heart? We compare ourselves to this book every day. Not just when once a week or when we remember and pencil it in, but every single day of our lives. So a clean heart is achieved by daily scripture reading and what else? What else can we clean up our heart with? Psalm 62. In verse 8. It says there, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge. Wait, I messed myself up. God is a refuge for us, Selah. So prayer is the other thing. Pour out your heart. That's what David was doing in Psalm 51. He's asking God, God, create, renew in me a right spirit. Create a right heart within me. That's the other thing we can do is prayer and daily Bible reading. I lost my spot once more. David's asking for help in Psalm 51. Each day we spend away from the Bible, each day we spend away from prayer, is one step closer to hard-heartedness towards God. And then Psalm 51, verse 17. It says there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. What is a broken spirit? It's a humble spirit. A humble spirit before God. And a broken and contrite heart. That's a humble heart. So what we need, for the main thing we need is a humble spirit towards God to keep us from becoming hard-hearted. And next, we need to do daily scripture reading and daily prayer. Pour out your heart to God, and God knows your heart. Let's pray. Lord, once again, I thank you for this opportunity to preach before the congregation, Lord, and I just pray that this message brought glory to your name, and I pray that if the congregation got a blessing out of it, Lord, and if not, then I just, as long as you got glory out of it, that's all I'm here for. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.